Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
Well, good morning. Well, that was a bit tepid. So, good morning. That's better. I like that. That's good. I do bring you greetings from Oklahoma Baptist University. It is great to see so many familiar faces. It's nice to see some folks that I actually went to OBU with. I attended OBU with, and I haven't seen them for a number of years, so it's great to catch up. And if you are an OBU alum or a friend of OBU, please join us right after the service. I think there'll be an announcement later on, but we've got a little get-together so we can visit a little bit. I am thrilled to be with you and share this message with you because it's a message that I think is urgently needed in our day. And it doesn't matter what age or stage of life you're in. What we're talking about today has direct relevance to you and your life journey, indeed your life story. Part of it is because we live in such a confusing time, and we live with so many voices vying for our attention. Some of our voices could be internal, voices that we listen to. They might be the voice of a coach or the voice of a parent or a guardian, kind of echoing in your mind. And whenever that tough time emerges in your life, you hear that voice saying what they say in your ear. Some of the voices that we hear may be external. They might be voices from politicians or friends, coworkers, and they might be voices that particularly are unhelpful, always reminding you that you're not good enough or you didn't achieve enough or something along those lines. Whether the voices are internal or external, sometimes the voices are not helpful. They're actually hurtful. Now, we might not have to go to internal or external voices, because if you have a device, a phone or a tablet or something like that, wave it at me so I can see that you are, yes, you're all modern people. This is wonderful. Our devices, whether we know it or not or realize it or not, you know, they extraordinarily control how we perceive the world and what voices we hear. We scroll, we tweet, we DM. Please don't do a TikTok video, most of you. It's a little bit scary. But we watch videos, and these screens and devices inform how we see ourselves, how we see the world, and what matters and adds value. And so when we think about us on screens and with screen time, we DM, we tweet, we text, we do all of these things, but actually research shows us that more and more all of these devices and the sounds that emerge and the videos that appear leave us not energized but more distracted and even depressed. So we look outside of our devices. We look to our politicians and our public speakers, and we don't get a lot of help there, do we? Our speakers seem to spew hate and division. Political parties apparently pull resources to divide us, and the nightly news is even worse. We're divided, and it's extraordinarily noisy out there, isn't it? It's hard to hear a kind word, or even a fair word. Before we think, we speak. And the voices that we hear on the news or screens actually may not encourage us, they might discourage us. And considering the volume of what we hear, the voices that emerge in our head might tell us false narratives, even about ourselves. Have you ever had this experience? You see someone out there, or you see a coworker or a friend, maybe a loved one, and you tell yourself a negative story about how you're not enough. Have you ever done that? Oh, it's church. We can be honest. if we're honest with ourselves, we know the noise in our own heads to a kind of destructive thought pattern and noisy negativity. And we contribute to the negative noise that we actually lament out there. It's true to say that we are guided by voices. But amidst this deluge of sound, have you ever asked yourself this question? Man, what voice do I need to hear? There's a lot of voices out there, but what voice do I need to hear? What's most beneficial for me to hear? Well, I have good news if you've asked yourself that question, or even in the context of this morning, you find yourself asking that question right now. What voice do I need to hear? Today we discover some help and some hope from ancient wisdom, particularly ancient Israelite wisdom, particularly ancient wisdom poetry. And I love this about the scriptures. You know, the scriptures we treat often like an IKEA manual, right? Do this, do this, and at the end you'll get a, some sort of Swedish name bookshelf or something. Well, the Bible doesn't work that way. The Bible at root is wisdom because God speaks his voice into our lives through the scriptures. And much of scripture, believe it or not, is poetry. It's unbelievable poetry. It's poetry that has stood the test of time. And we find wisdom and hope on voices today from the book of Proverbs. Listen to this ancient wisdom from Proverbs chapter 9. If you have your Bible, turn there. We're going to be looking at the 9th chapter, at two voices that we urgently need to hear for the good of your life and the good of mine. Listen to the text. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat. She's mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She sent out her female servants, and she calls out from the highest points of the city. And what is it that wisdom says? She says, "Whoever is inexperienced, enter here. To the one who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my bread. Drink the wine that I have mixed. Leave inexperience behind, and you will live. Pursue the way of understanding." Drop down to verse 9. "Instruct the wise, and he will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and he will learn more." And I like this because you might be saying, well, I really don't need this message. I've grown up in church, or I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. Well, guess what? Instruct the wise, and he'll be wiser still. What is it the writer's saying to us? There's no off-ramp on the road to wisdom. You're always on the road to wisdom. Doesn't matter if you've been a follower of Jesus for 50 years, 500 years. I don't know if anybody meets that qualification. But however long you've been on the road following Jesus, there's no off-ramp on the road to wisdom at all. But there is a key to it. Look at verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, wisdom says, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life." Drop down to verse 13. We've heard the voice of wisdom. Now hear another voice. "Folly is a rowdy woman. She's gullible. She knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat." Where? At the highest point of the city. Who else was at the highest point of the city? Oh, yes, wisdom. But folly's there too. And what does she say? "She calls to those who pass by, who go straight ahead on their paths." Verse 16. "Whoever is experienced, inexperienced, enter here. To the ones who lack sense," she says, "stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten secretly is tasty." But he doesn't know, that is, the person who hears her voice, he doesn't know that departed spirits are there in her house, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, or the place of the dead. What we need to understand is the poet presents two voices as the most significant for us to hear. Despite the din of voices that echo in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, We need to hear two voices today. It's a tale of two voices, the voice of wisdom and the voice of folly. Wisdom calls out and says, whoever's inexperienced, enter into my house. Verse 4. But guess what? Folly is saying the same thing. If you're inexperienced, and just I'll give you a foretaste of glory divine here. Here's the reality. The inexperienced are you and me. You say, no, that's the seniors that are graduating today. Well, I love this. No, it's not just the seniors that are graduating today. You remember how I said there's no off-ramp on the road to wisdom? The inexperienced are you and me. We need to grow in wisdom. No matter where we are, whatever age or stage we're in life, here's the reality. We must grow in wisdom. You say, well, I've never heard of these two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Well, what we're dealing with here is poetry. I said poetry. It's amazing, beautiful Hebrew poetry. And we're dealing with personification. And personification means you take a concept or an idea and you give it human characteristics. So it's wisdom and foolishness. And wisdom and foolishness, these realities that we see played out in life, are given the garb of humanity. And literally, it's two women who have two houses, who make two meals for guests. And guess what? Their houses, if you listen to their voice, they lead to two destinations. It's a tale of two voices. These personifications stem from the reality of God's wisdom at the very creation of the world. Listen to Proverbs 3:19. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heavens by understanding. Wisdom is a way of being and living in the world. And here, the writer of Proverbs is saying, wisdom is like listening to a lady's voice, going to her house, eating a meal, and inhabiting her home. What is wisdom? I mean, do you really go to her house? No, it's not a house. It's a picture, right? An image. But what is wisdom? Well, in the Bible, wisdom is a beautiful and all-encompassing concept. Wisdom is quite simply this: discerning God's order and rhythm in creation. Another way of saying it is, wisdom is discerning the ways of God in all of life. Some of us think that wisdom is about going to church on Sunday, or maybe having a Bible study in your own personal time, prayer time, day by day. And those are good things. But oftentimes what happens is we go to church on Sunday, and then we have our Bible study time, Monday to Saturday. And it's almost as if we have our Bible study time, we say, okay, yes, this is my proverb a day. It keeps the doctor away. I've read my proverb. And now I pray, and now I put God on the shelf, and I go live my life. But wisdom is not like that. Wisdom is not this division between my sacred life, my Bible study, and my Bible church attendance or something like that, and then the rest of life. No, wisdom means all of life, all for Jesus. You're discerning God's order and rhythm in all of life. Now, why do I say that? Well, the book of Proverbs constantly, if you read Proverbs, for instance, the book of Proverbs constantly talks about how wisdom is built into the very fabric of creation. When God made the world, wisdom was there. So the world that we live in is not random or chaotic. It's actually undergirded, created, founded, designed with God's wisdom. And that's good news. That means that our world is comprehensible. You don't have to live like you're in chaos all the time. No, God created the world. It's good. Now, how did God create the world? Well, let's break it down for you and for me. Did you know God created us with four primary relationships in view? Now, we know about the relationship that God created so that we have a relationship with God. After all, we know we didn't just show up by accident. God made us. And when we look at the creation account, for instance, in Genesis 1 and 2, we find that God made humanity so that we might be rightly related to God. Secondly, did you know that God made us for relationship with one another? You say, Heath, I'm an introvert. I don't like people. Well, okay. That's understandable. If you're an introvert, that's fine. And just to be clear, I'm an introvert. What that means is I enjoy being with all of you good people, but after a little while, I need to recharge my batteries in some alone time, right? Usually reading. I'm boring, right? At least my children tell me I am. But it's absolutely true. The Bible, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, makes no difference. Here's the reality. When God looked at the man that he made, and God made him all sorts of animals, and Adam was naming all these animals, God looked at the man and said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman. And when the man looked at the woman, he said, oh my goodness, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is unbelievable. And God made human beings to be in relationship with one another. But you know, it's not just a relationship with God and relationship with one another. When God founded the earth by wisdom, he also made us to be in right relationship with ourselves. Now you might say, well, how do you know? Well, it's when we look at Genesis 3 and sin enters into the equation and human beings decide they can live as they want apart from God. What happens when human beings try and live apart from God? Guess what happens? Instead of being rightly related to God and rightly related to one another and rightly related to themselves, what happens is they rebel against God. In Genesis 3, they start blaming one another. And then guess what happens? They feel shame within themselves. God didn't make us to have a sense of guilt and shame all the time, a sense of unworthiness. I hate myself. I hate myself. God didn't make us that way. That's a result of human sin. God made us to have a healthy view of self. Instead of loathing what God has made, we begin to love the creation that God has made for his glory. And then finally, do you know God made us, when he founded the earth with wisdom, for a relationship with the created world? We call this work. Now, you might be saying, no, you don't know my boss. There is nothing good about work. I just want to encourage you. Work is part of God's good creation. And the reality is, when God made Adam and Eve, what did he do? He placed them in the garden, and he gave them jobs, naming and tending and tilling the garden for the glory of God. So here's the reality. Our relationship is not just with others and God and self, it's with the world, so that we might bring out the hidden goodness of creation as unbelievable agents in the kingdom of God. That's how God has made us. Now, what happens? Well, when we listen to sin and self, we listen to the voice of folly. And so what does folly do? Well, folly, if we heed her voice, she disrupts or perverts or twists or breaks every primary relationship that God has created us to enjoy. So if we sin, we break relationship with God. And when that happens, everything else goes sideways. I want you to think about your own life. Maybe you're having all sorts of social problems. And maybe it's friendships and family relationships. Maybe it's that coworker that every time they show up, it's like, I cannot stand that person. Now, this is all hypothetical, right? I wonder if maybe the reason for that tension, that frustration, that brokenness is because in your social relationships, you might be listening to the voice of folly rather than wisdom. I wonder if we loathe ourselves. I wonder if it might be because of the way that we hear the whispers of folly in our ears. Because what she's saying is, if you're inexperienced, enter here. And then she says little things like, ooh, stolen water is sweet. Stolen bread is tasty. But the writer of Proverbs reminds us, listen, anybody who enters into her house and listens to her voice, guess what? Dead people live in that home. It's not life-giving. And maybe the words that you hear in your own ears about yourself is death-dealing, soul-destroying. It is not life because we're not listening to the right voice. Here's the reality. Wisdom, hearing God's wisdom in life, hearing God's call, is a restorative act where that brokenness in sin is healed. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul calls Jesus, listen to this, the wisdom of God. Do you know what it means to follow Jesus? Following Jesus is not just about having a little dude live in your heart. Why? Because the New Testament makes it abundantly clear. Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is the King of creation. Everything that exists was made through him, by him, and for him. And what that means for you and me, if you want to hear the voice of wisdom, you've got to hear the voice of Jesus. And what happens when we hear Jesus' voice in all of life? Guess what happens? The break from our relationship with God is breached, it's healed. It's restored. We literally are brought into the family of God. You say, Heath, you don't know what I've done. Well, I have good news. Jesus is more powerful than all the bad that you've done. He heals our sin and forgives us so that we can have a proper relationship with Jesus, with the Lord God once again. But more than that, do you know, Jesus restores our interpersonal relationships. See, when we're talking about Jesus, we're not just talking about a religious ritual. We're talking about a living Lord who heals our family relationships, our work relationships, that person you can't get along with. You say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And guess what? The Lord helps you. He gives you the Spirit to know what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. He heals our relationships with one another. He heals our relationships with ourselves. What is a broken and shattered self-image? In Christ, he doesn't just give us a little song to sing. He heals the shards of self in our lives. So you might be scrolling aimlessly through your social media accounts and you think, oh, I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy. Look at these people. You know what happens when we compare? We begin to loathe rather than love who God has created and redeemed for his glory. Oh, I can't measure up. In Christ, we find our meaning, our purpose, our sense of identity. Our identity is found in him rather than other things. And we begin to be confident in who Christ has made us to be. And indeed, the rest of the created world. Do you know, in Christ, what he does, he begins to re-engage us aright with the world. I love the way that one scholar says this. He's a pastor in the UK. He said, when you come to understand who Jesus is, you really understand Jesus puts our world to rights. Indeed, he puts us back to rights with work, with our community, to where we begin to meaningfully engage our world rather than just be consumers of it. But here's the reality. We're talking about wisdom. Wisdom is not the only voice out there. Folly is there as well. In fact, the text says that they are in the same places, saying the exact same things. Wisdom is saying, come to my house, eat my food. Folly is saying, come to my house, eat my food. It's almost like the youth, inexperienced, naive youths who are walking through the city. They're hearing the same thing in the same way from two different people. Proverbs 7 through 8 shows us that wisdom and folly cry out in the market, in the gates, in the square, in the high point of the city. Wisdom is everywhere, but so too is folly. So how are we going to avoid going to folly's house in all of life? And how do we go into the house of wisdom? How do we hear her voice? Let me just say, the way that we begin to do that is respond to the call of wisdom. And listen, inhabit wisdom's house. Don't just make a visit. Oftentimes what we like to do is we like to make a visit to wisdom's house. I'll do a Bible verse a day, and then I'll put God on the shelf, and it will all be good. That's my spirituality. Well, that's not the picture that we get. This is an ancient Hebrew text. When someone invites you over for a meal, they want you to inhabit the house, not just stop by. Let me show you what I mean here. You know, my wife and I, when we were early in our marriage, we moved to the UK, and we took our four-month-old son, Harrison, with us. And we sold everything that we had. We had everything that we owned in 7 suitcases. We moved to the UK and lived there. We didn't know anybody or anything, blissful naivety. I, at the time of our move to the UK, was living in Dallas. I did my master's degree down there, and my wife was a neonatal intensive care nurse at Cook Children's in downtown Fort Worth. And, I mean, we were, used to, if I could just say it, DFW life, which means when you go have a meal with someone, you go to the restaurant, you meet there, right? You don't drive over together. No. You meet at the restaurant. You grab a table. You have a meal. You talk for about an hour, hour and a half. 2 hours is really, really pushing it. And at the time, we had this four-month-old. So, you got to put your son to bed and do all the feeding schedule and all of those things. So if you're visiting with a friend, you do it at a restaurant and then go about your business. And in Dallas-Fort Worth at the time, it may be a little bit like this in Tulsa. After you get home from work, listen, you don't want anybody over. And if you drive into your home, that garage, once it goes up and goes down, it might as well be a drawbridge going up. Right? You are in your castle, nobody come near. Well, we discovered that life doesn't work that way in the UK. In fact, when we were just a few weeks into our 4 years in the UK, we found that we got to be acquaintances with a couple. Their names are Rosie and Pete. And Rosie and Pete had a daughter about the same age as Harrison. And so they said, hey, why don't you come around for lunch after church? So we said, okay. So Rosie and Pete offer, a certain time. And so right after church, we come over to their house. And so we enter into their house, and the children are playing, just kind of rolling around on the floor. And we're thinking, okay, where's the food? Typical America, right? Where's the food? Well, they bring out a bowl of what I call potato chips. Well, they don't call them potato chips. They call them crisps. Do you know why? Because they don't speak English. That's why. And so they offer us a big bowl of crisps. Well, my wife, she's got a five-month-old at the time, six-month-old. She and I both are pretty hungry. So then they say, okay, would you like a cup of tea with your crisps? Okay. And in our heads, we're thinking, when are you going to feed us? It's at around that time that we hear Rosie say, all right, well, I'm putting the lamb in the oven. Yes, exactly. The lamb in the oven, that should have been cooking during church. Come on. Well, the lamb cooks for about an hour. It's about 2 or 3 o'clock when we eat. So, I'm feeling very shaky. Jill is going out of her mind. Harrison is throwing food at this time, you know. And we eat, and then after the meal, they say, would you like a cup of tea? We've already had a cup of tea. We had that with the crisps. We're done. But they say, okay, well, let's make a cup of tea, and what, would you like some pudding? And I'm thinking, Jell-O? No, they mean dessert. Again, they don't speak English. At 4 o'clock, we're making our apologies. We're so sorry. We know you're busy. At 5 o'clock, they say, well, would you just like to stay for tea? We've already had tea. No, they mean our children's supper. Okay. By 6 o'clock, we're pretty nervous. We're kind of going crazy. We get out of their house at 9 p.m. Now, we felt terrible. At one point in the meal, or the second meal, dinner, we're so sorry. And they said, now, wait a second. We invited you around. We wanted to spend some time with you to get to know you. Don't apologize. And I'm thinking to myself, after 9 hours, I sure know you. And I'm ready to get out of here. I feel like a caged animal. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because there's a big difference between a quick visit and inhabiting the house. When wisdom is making her call, she's saying, come, eat my bread, drink the wine that I have mixed. In that culture, it is not a stop by. It's an inhabitation of the house. Spend some time, kick back, have a conversation, have some tea. Enjoy the meal. Inhabit wisdom's house. Don't just visit. Wisdom invites us to share meal as friends, to inhabit her house, to enjoy the meal. It's time. It's investment. It's the ingestion of good things that are nourishing to our lives. It's learning the tradition. It's a marvelous waste of time. Do you know, when we come to church on Sundays, it's not just about checking the box. It's about this marvelous waste of time where Christ, in his kindness, meets with a needy people. When we hear the voice of God in all of life, it is not just about checking a box. Yes, I did my Bible study today. It's about gaining wisdom so that you and I can navigate the hard things that each and every one of us face. Death. Disease. Betrayal. Hurt. Frustration. All of us feel this way. All of us experience these things. Wisdom is saying, inhabit my house. And under God, I will give you the tools and skills to handle them. Wisdom call is not just for part of life. Listen, it's for all of life. Where can you escape wisdom's voice? She's everywhere, as is folly. You can't escape her voice. She's calling to all of life, saying, listen, listen, listen. Another way of saying it is, I'll put it up there on the screen there for you. Wisdom is making her call in every aspect of our existence, as is folly. Many of us think attending to wisdom's call is about going to church or a Bible study, or maybe I'll do a Wednesday or be part of the youth group. All those things are good. But do you know wisdom, if she's in the gates, in the market, if she's doing this and that, here's the reality. There's no place in the created order where we can't hear wisdom's call. Wisdom calls out in church leadership, missionary work. Wisdom calls out in our families, in our business, in our commerce. Wisdom calls out in art and music and aesthetics, in journalism and politics, in our technology, in emotion, psychology, sport, leisure, science, humanities, research, academics. There's no place where wisdom doesn't call out. And you might say, Heath, why is there that jagged line? I'll tell you why, because life is complicated. Some days you might be attending to wisdom's voice in your family very well, but then you go into your workplace and you put Christ back on the shelf. Or alternatively, you might be living in a very tough workplace, trying your best to live for Jesus, and then all of a sudden you go home and you relax and you're a bear when you get home. Why? Because you don't think that that place is a place where wisdom is calling out. Wisdom is. I love being at OBU, where we commit to inhabit wisdom's house. All of life, all for Jesus. At our institution, we want to equip, inspire, and empower the next generation of future leaders and future shapers to live wisely in our world, to make a difference, not just to collect a paycheck, as important as that is. We want to shape and form individuals who are going to add value to our churches, to our communities, to our world. Why? Because we believe in wisdom we find life and thriving. After all, what does the text say? In wisdom you find life, but in folly, in her house are dead men's bones. So, you might be convinced, I want wisdom. How do I get it? Well, the good news is there's a door. What's the door to wisdom? We see it here in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what wisdom. We find this phrase also in chapter 1, verse 7. We also find it in chapter 10. We find it in chapter 31. Here's the reality. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the door. What does it mean to fear the Lord? I'll tell you. It means to live all of life, all for Jesus. That's what it means to fear God. It doesn't mean to live in terror of God. Ah, he's going to strike me down. No, to live in the fear of the Lord means that you live all of your life, all for Jesus. It's no wonder Jesus is called the very wisdom of God. If you want wisdom, look to Jesus. He literally calls himself the door. Go through him. But wisdom doesn't have just a door to her house. She also has food. What is wisdom's food? The instruction of the Lord, Proverbs 3:11. Now, here's the reality. The Bible is not just a dusty artifact from the ancient past. The writer of Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to cleave joint and marrow. Here's the reality. The Lord God speaks to us through His Word. So if you're dealing with some challenge in your life, listen, can I encourage you? Eat the Word of God. It's delightful. It's sweet. It's challenging, but it's good. And the Word of God helps us navigate through the challenges of life. So, good news. There's a door, there's food, but guess what? That's not all. There's people in wisdom's house. Who are the people who inhabit the house of wisdom? Chapter 3, verse 5 of Proverbs. Those who trust in the Lord. My encouragement to you is find wise people. Well, where do you find those folks? Amongst the people of God. People who have committed their lives to Christ, who are navigating life just like you are, but the source is Christ. The voice is the voice of wisdom. So if you want wisdom, hang around people who know Jesus, who's lived a long time with Jesus. Young people in the room, my encouragement to you would be find a mentor who's been walking with Jesus for a very long time. Even now, I have two mentors in my life that have spoken into my life since I was 11 years old. Why? Because I'm young, or at least I was once. I need help. I need wisdom from people who are further down the road than me. So, find wise people, hang around them, learn from them, allow them to mentor you. If you seek wisdom, here's the reality. Your quest will never be done, and there's not a time where you say, I'm good. We always need to hear wisdom's voice. So let me ask you a very nosy question this morning. To whose voice are you listening to? Wisdom or folly? The good news today is that if you're listening to the voice of folly, you can stop up that ear and open your ear to wisdom's call. Maybe some of you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never handed the reins of your life over to Christ. My friend, that is your story. He will not let you down. The Lord will never leave you alone in a ditch. He walks with us and he guides us through life. He gives us peace and satisfaction, forgiveness, and an eternal home. You can trust him. The wisdom of God, the voice of wisdom. Some of us in this room need to turn from folly. It's robbing us of joy, peace, and satisfaction. And listen, if we listen to the voice of folly and only listen to the voice of folly, the destination for us is death, both here but also eternity. So my appeal to you is if you're listening to a voice that is not satisfying, listen, turn to Christ. Turn away from folly. I'm going to ask you to stand and I want to pray over you. Lord, help us to hear your voice today. Help us to hear and respond. However you have spoken, we want to thank you for your speech. And however we need to alter our lives, we pray that you would give us courage and strength to do so. Thank you, Lord, for these good people. Encourage them as they go about their lives. And if there's anyone who needs to turn to you, I pray that they would do that today, and today would be the day of salvation. In Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.